Blog Talk Radio.
Check. Okay.
There is a reason every Odyssey is named after the Odyssey. Because the world's most famous story is about staying put. It's about being there. Those who want a story to tell. We have a world full of places to stop. At Catholic Health, when we see our island, we see extraordinary life. The most extraordinary of which is you. It's because our Catholic faith places the highest value on people, all people. It's the inspiration for our exceptional medical care. Unmatched compassion, and it's why at Catholic Health you're more than a patient. You're someone's family, best friend, and a neighbor to us all. Long live Long Island.
I love being out there, man. Like whether it's going to get some fire food or going to a concert or you know just kicking it with people.
It's summer, and it's just here's a great people. Yeah, yeah. Well, I'm too
one game road trip to the Knicks, that's Minnesota Monday, pregame at 8:30, game coverage at 9, the opening tip at 9:15, they're all from our presence on MXGO. Knicks lose to Boston, 133-118, over out of the Wally with Commonwealth.
Thank you, Bill.
Looking at a couple of points out there, because there was a lot of offense. And this team, no doubt about that. And Obi Toppin has been a topic of discussion with us because of the way he's been playing of late. Obviously, last night had a great game in Philadelphia. How would he follow up this game? Well, instead of just three balls today, we're going to show you how he's also learning how to get to the basket.
Yeah, and just taking advantage of what the defense offers. And we've talked about how Celtics went small, so he might as well attack the rim. And here Obi Toppin puts the ball on the floor for a couple dribbles. Now, freeze it right there. Now, normally Obi would come over here and give the dribble handoff for Brunson to come and get the rock, but look at Marcus Smart. He gets totally faked out of his shoes. Because he thinks it's a handoff coming, and Obi goes when the old Obi goes, gets the ball into the paint, and just blows by the defensive player of the year. See you later, Marcus Smart. Now Obi Toppin gets to the rim. We talked about no shot blocking, no blocking stuff, but it's the point guard Malcolm Brogdon down into the paint, guarding James Randle. Obi Toppin easy pass into the lane. These are moves that we haven't seen out of Obi Toppin this whole entire season. He starts to lose games a lot of confidence.
Hang on. What's up, CP?
Recording in progress.
Rebounds, though, that's stacking like
Cleveland Brown, immediately you're trained to see who has the ball here and think to myself, should I come down and double team and help? Because again, it's a point guard guarding the 7-footer, Isaiah Hartenstein. So he's taking a quick look to see, should I come down and double? Because this is where the double team would come from. But Julius Randle sees that this man lost sight of him. He's come to the basket.
Salute to Knicks Nation, man. CP a franchise here. 133-118. It was.
Thank you.
Okay. What's good, bro? How you doing? You're getting new arm. Yo, can you hear me? Oh, hold on, hold on. Sounds like you're on now.
I can't hear you, CP.
You can't hear me?
Maybe it's my fault. Maybe I got to turn up something.
Yep. Check one, check two.
Oh, I hear you now.
Good now, right?
Yeah.
Check one, check two. Check one, check two. Good to go?
Yep.
All right, cool. All right, here we go. Check one, check two. Check one, check two, check one, check two. All right, this one probably won't be long because, honestly, this was a tough one to get through, man. So we'll just run through this, do player ratings, and take a couple calls. And we'll see how many people we get tonight. Might not be that much, so.
All right,
here we go. Okay, check one, check two, check one, check two. Check one, check two, check one, check two. Okay, all right. There we go. Just give me some audio levels real quick.
Yep, check one,
go
check
again.
Two.
Okay. Go again, go one more time.
Check one, check two.
Good to go, all right. All right, let's get this over with. Check. Okay, hold on. Check. Check. Okay. Check. Alright, here we go. Saturday edition of Knicks Post Game Live presented by Manscaped. Knicks on the second night of a back-to-back, looking for two in a row after Friday night's wild win in Philly. But Boston came with a firestorm, with a rainstorm of threes, man. Jeff, I hope you brought your umbrella, man, because the Celtics will come out and drop 27 threes, shooting 27 for 51 from downtown. It was raining threes at MSG. I still think they're hitting threes right now. And that was pretty much all she wrote, man. Knicks had enough offense to win this one, but the Celtics were just on fire tonight from beginning to end and shot the Knicks out the building, man. 133-118. Knicks go down to the former Eastern Conference champions. And that was all she wrote, man. Knicks Post Game Live presented by Manscaped, CP the Franchise, Jeff Campbell, KnicksFanTV.com on the ones and twos. So to everybody in the chat, man, hit that thumbs up button for you boys. Tonight, look, man, I'll keep it real short and sweet, man. Tonight was just one of those nights
you tip your cap to the other team and you give them their credit. Of course, it wouldn't be a Knicks season without making a team famous or making a player famous for some reason. And tonight the Boston Celtics hit a franchise record in three-pointers made, 27 of 51 from downtown, 52%. They were incredible from beginning to end. And look, this is the Knicks' Achilles heel once again this year. It's their perimeter defense leading a poor three-point defense. And tonight it was lousy rotations, poor effort getting out to the three-point line, and a lot of miscommunication. And I mean, some of these guys on Boston were wide open, wide open. We had this guy, Doogie Howser, whatever his name is, 5 of 8 from downtown, 17 points. He kind of looked like Doogie Howser a little bit. Some of you guys that are as old as me. Wide open, man. I mean, I couldn't believe it, bro. Once Noah Vonleh hit his three, I started to pack it up. I said, all right, let me get ready for post-game. I've seen enough. Once Noah Vonleh, a former Knick reject, get his first three off of his first attempt of the year, that was it for me, man. Atrocious, atrocious Knick defense. And Knicks go down in flames, 133-118, man. Jeff, give me your thoughts on this one.
CP, it's a rough one. You know, I thought you had it. You hit the nail on the head. You started talking about miscommunications. I think if fans who didn't watch the game looked at some of the stat lines tonight, and you look at Julius Randle, and you look at Jalen Brunson, you see that Jalen Brunson had a double-double, 22 and 10. I think Julius had 29 and 9, if I'm correct.
29 and 9 for Julius. Yeah, Brunson 22 and 10, RJ 27 points, man.
But I'm looking at the both of them when it comes to some of these threes, specifically Brunson. I mean, Brunson in the first half, he had two miscommunications. One was with Cam Reddish, where the two of them clearly didn't know off the pick and roll who was going to step up to guard the three-point line.
Yep.
And they just let it rain. And you called it Doogie Howser. Neil Patrick Harris, the guy who used to play – Reggie Miller in the Garden tonight. That's how wide open and on fire he was. And Randall was on him for most of the night. And, you know, I'm sure if we look back at the tape, maybe there's some pick and rolls, some coverages that could have been switched. I'm sure it wasn't all of his fault. But I think Randall maybe looked at that matchup and said, you know what, I could take it a little easier.
Slept on him.
Slack off a little bit. And he did, and it burned us. And if you look, like you said earlier, I think Howser was 5 for 8 from three tonight.
Yeah.
That's a huge swing.
All of his joints are wide open, bro. You can't leave him open. He could shoot.
Even with all of that said, CP, I'm going to say my glass is still a little bit half full. You know, this game was going to be tough to win without Mitch in the first place.
Yeah.
You got Jaylen Brown and Tatum hit 6 threes apiece. You know they're going to be good, of course. I'm sure we could have done a little bit of a better job there. Brogdon had some really open looks, and I'm going to, you know, probably look at Brunson again a little bit there. There were some really good spurts with this team. Tibbs is switching up the lineups again, so I like some things here and there. I'm not super upset about this loss, but when you look at some of the defensive lapses and the miscommunications, it's early in the season, so you know that you can kind of tie those up a little bit. But it was a little bit concerning to see for sure.
Yeah, it is, man. And like you said, with Brunson, even IQ, we just cannot keep these guards in front of us, man. And once that breaks down, they were getting into the paint with these. You had no Mitch out there. Thor Hartenstein gave a valiant effort. But once the perimeter breaks down, your first line of defense, and now you got Julius having to rotate and communicate and RJ, it's a disaster, bro. It is an absolute disaster. There was at least two instances with Julius and Cam having a cross up, not knowing where to switch or where to stay at home, leaving guys wide open. It might have been Jaylen Brown twice, or once was Jason Tatum, one was Jaylen Brown. It was just so many times where guys just were just out of sync and no communication, bad effort on the rotations. It was just bad. And give credit to this Boston team. Their guard play is excellent. whether you're talking about, you know, Tatum and Brown handling the ball, Marcus Smart. They have the luxury of bringing Malcolm Brogdon off the bench, who he dropped 25 last night off the bench on the Bulls. Tonight, I thought he was outstanding again for them. He's coming off the bench. He's closing games for them. Great pickup. I always liked him as a player when healthy. And so, I mean, they were just – you couldn't have asked for more perfect offense out of the Celtics tonight. 30 assists, 27-51, 52% from downtown. It's a tough one, man. Absolute tough one.
Very difficult. You know, of course you see that percentage and it's going to scare you. It's going to be tough to win any game like that. I do think there were some things we could have done better, but you know, on the bright side, I do want to give a little bit of a shout out to Cam Reddish.
Yeah. Let's shout out to Cam Hawk, man.
Yeah. You know, I thought his stat line probably isn't anything crazy. I thought his individual defense was really good. You know, again, and Cam is a guy that has a lot to prove coming into this season. There's a lot of eyeballs on him. Questions about the rotation, where he fits. You know, he had a couple of steals, and I thought he kept everything in front of him. And when people drove on him, he didn't bite on pump fakes. He kept his hands up, his feet down. So I was very impressed with Cam tonight.
Yeah, the only thing you were maybe disappointed in is that he couldn't play 48 minutes because they needed him. Cam got the start tonight, and my reaction to that is I think the Fournier era in terms of being in the starting lineup is finally over. And, yes, despite the fact that when he is on point from threes, you could use him in that lineup, we've got to go to the youth. And so this two-guard or wing slot right now has to be evaluated looking at Cam and looking at Grimes, who's not healthy right now. Quentin Grimes out. Second night of a back-to-back. Tibbs said the foot is a little bit sore. We'll see what happens Monday against Minnesota, but not a good sign for Grimes. Great opportunity for Cam Reddish to take advantage of it. I think the only thing is that being in the starting lineup that's dominated by RJ, Julius, and Brunson, he still has to figure out where his offense is going to come from because he's kind of filling that supporting cast role. And defensively, on point, we need it. We definitely need it. But offensively, I think he's still trying to figure out where does he fit within this triangle that is Brunson, Randle, and RJ, because they're going to be dominating the ball so much. Obviously, they need to play make a little bit better for each other, and maybe that's how you get Cam involved. But from a defensive standpoint, he was sharp tonight, definitely sharp. All right, salute to everybody in the chat, man. Hit that thumbs up button for you boys. Throw an emoji in the chat, man. Let us know how you guys are feeling about tonight's tough loss. Knicks lose 133-118. Raining threes at MSG, man. Absolute tough one to sit there and watch. Because, like I said, they had more than enough offense to win this one. The second quarter, Brunson erupted. You know, he had no points in the first. Second quarter, he erupted both as a scorer and as a facilitator. And it was no coincidence that as he became more and more aggressive and he was getting into the paint off of his dribble drives or off of the pick and roll, good things were happening. He was finding RJ for threes. He found Julius for a couple. He was able to facilitate a little bit more. And that's how the Knicks really got back into the game because they had to – it was a straight shootout. They had to fight fire with fire, and Brunson's second quarter performance – is really what really got them into the game where they only went into the halftime down by 1 point. What do you think about Brunson tonight?
His mid-range game is really impressive. And one thing that I'm, like, really, really impressed about with the Knicks this season is that their shot profile, I think, looks completely different than in years past. You can see that pretty much the only guys that are allowed to take mid-range shots are Julius and Brunson and maybe a little bit of RJ when he does that little turnaround in the lane, little fade away. But all of their shots really look like they're drives to the rim or three-pointers, which, you know, we know analytically are you know, very sought-after shots. But I like Brunson's game tonight. You know, listen, yeah, we knew going into this season that defense was going to be a question for him. A lot of people talked about what a backcourt of him and Fournier was going to look like. You know, we don't really have to answer that question anymore because Fournier looks like he's going to be on the bench, presumably for, you know, how long, we don't know. But
yeah.
I, you know, definitely was concerned with some lapses in Brunson's defense for sure. I wonder how much he can actually control with that. And that's really a Tibbs
right.
thing. And I have faith in Tibbs because I remember what Obi Toppin looked like when he first stepped on an NBA court defensively. And while he's not going to be winning any awards anytime soon, I think there's marked improvement since his rookie year. So I do want to see positioning-wise, awareness-wise, like Brunson has his back to people sometimes,
yeah.
which
yeah.
is crazy to me. And I'm not even – you know, he's not a vet, but he's been in the league long enough to not make mistakes like that. But overall, listen, his offense, like you said, it was the catalyst. It sparked us. He does things that we need so badly in situations. And I remember even writing in the season preview article for KnicksFanTV.com that he would become Mr. Fourth Quarter. He would probably be our MVP at the end of the year. And it looks like that may ring true because – like, he is really our engine, you know? I mean, like, when Jalen Brunson has it going, our offense looks really different.
Yeah.
You know, really good. And when he doesn't, you know, we have a hard time manufacturing baskets.
Yeah, no question about it, man. He was ferocious out of the mid-range, especially in that second quarter. Came out hot in the third as well, 10 of 17 from the field. You know, he had a filthy in and out, I think, on Tatum on a fast break. Absolutely filleted him. And so offensively, look, he was solid. He gave us everything that we needed because they were in a complete firefight. But defensively, man, it's like, it's a little bit tough to watch. RJ chipped in 27 points for RJ, a nice efficient night for him, 9 of 15 from the field, hit his threes, 3 of 5 from downtown, 6 of 6 from the stripe. That's a good look for RJ, man. So because so far this season, he's at 77% from the stripe, a little bit better than last year. And so he's knocking down his free throws, 27 points, but 6 turnovers, Jeff. 6 turnovers, a couple of a travel or two, throwing the ball away in the passing lanes. RJ's got to take care of that, man. 6 turnovers, not a good look. But other than that, I liked how, you know, he was attacking. He was very aggressive, attacking the lane, drawing contact, knocked down 3 of 5 from downtown. Again, a good performance if you want to win a game, but Boston was just that much better.
Yeah, I liked what I saw from RJ tonight. I'd be interested to see it. It felt like his best shooting night of the season so far. I remember looking this morning, actually, just out of curiosity to see what he was shooting at the line, saw 77%, probably risen a couple of percentage points after tonight. Just the confidence. I love seeing RJ commit to a path, a decision, and then go with it. When he chooses to drive, I thought his finishing at the rim was really good tonight. He had a couple of really nice Euro steps, or just kind of really forcing the issue and getting to the bucket, elevating and converting. So I like that. One thing I do want to watch a little more closely with him is his defense. I know he was getting a little bit frustrated with Tatum tonight. You could see that in him. You know, when he took that matchup personally, and I think he probably
he
wanted to make a statement, and Jason Tatum is a superstar.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, Jason Tatum – used the word fillet earlier. I mean, he fillets everybody, and he filleted us tonight pretty badly.
Badly.
You know, it's so hard to guard him. I know even Julius had a couple of decent defensive possessions against him where he had a hand in his face. Cam Reddish actually looked like maybe the guy who had the best opportunity to guard him, you know, forced a jump ball late in the game against him. But I like what I saw from RJ tonight. It's all about consistency with him, CC.
Mm-hmm.
It's all about consistency. Like, can we get this RJ Barrett 2 out of the 3 games, you know, a week?
Yeah.
Or are we going to go back to an efficient RJ that, you know, struggles to get 20, but has some decent things here and there? Like, we need that next step. Tonight was a great step in that direction, but we got to see what happens.
Yeah, no question about it. And then Julius chipped in 29 points, 9 boards. So Julius 10 and 19. Again, an excellent stat line if you want to win a game. But Boston was just that much better. I just felt like it was on the defensive side where he hurt us because there was no Mitch. And so his role is very important in this defense, whether it's he and Hartenstein out there in the front court or he and Obi. He's got to be a little bit better. He's got to be a little bit smarter on the defensive end. And I thought even earlier in the game, his three-point defense, a lot of the breakdowns were on him. You know, like I said, offensively, he was pretty solid. But what were your takes on Julius tonight?
You know, I'm trying to look at Julius, and I'm trying to put a sample size together for him because the conversation surrounding him is always, are we going back to bad Julius or are we going back to 2020-2021? You know, and that season is probably not possible to get back to that form. But I think Julius has put enough games together now that we see that he's a productive player. The attitude is better-ish. But I was let down a little bit in areas tonight. You know, the little cheap foul on Grant Williams were honestly like, I forget whether they called it or not. You probably
called it flagrant.
Yeah. So if it was, then yeah. I mean, that was a flagrant.
Yeah.
And it's an emotional foul. So you let your emotions get the best of you, and regardless of whether you're losing or not, and if you want to be a leader, you just can't let that happen.
Nah. He caught Trae Young like that on Wednesday.
Right. Right. So you know, my thing is this. I think the decision-making overall has been better. You still see a lot of over-dribbling, especially when he gets in the lane and he starts to spin. He loses control. He loses possession, creates turnovers. So that kills me. The shooting was a little bit better tonight. I did like his play in spurts, but, man, the defense killed me. Overall, I'm okay with Julius. I'm trying to take a long view, a wide lens view of Julius this season. I think it's been better and it's trending in the right direction-ish, but you almost wonder if long-term the ball is just better if it's more in the hands of Brunson and Barrett and if he takes almost a tertiary role. And I don't know how that conversation goes across or if it does happen, but, you know, I don't know. Again, you look at the stat line and you're going to think, well, he had a pretty damn good game. And, you know, he did in the sense of keeping us in the game. But that the decision-making and the parts where he's bad, it seems to really affect us a lot.
Yeah, I think it has to go through Brunson. You know, it has to go through Brunson because you just don't want Julius reverting back to, you know, just having to make too much decisions for this team. It's good that he's aggressive. And I felt like, especially in the first quarter, we needed that because no one really had it, you know, no one really had a rhythm just yet. And so he just needs to pick his spots effectively. But on the defensive side of the house, we need more. We definitely need more from him. Now, Obi, who was the star of last night's win in Philadelphia, came off the bench 15 minutes, 7 boards, 6 rebounds, a steal and a block. I thought we would have saw a little bit more of the Obi-Julius tandem, given that the Celtics were also going small. They didn't have Al Horford, still Robert Williams still out of the lineup. They went with Blake Griffin, Grant Williams, platoon in the front court. Thought we would have seen a little bit more Obi-Julius. What do you think about Obi tonight and, you know, that whole dynamic as far as the Knicks are concerned?
Obi's so interesting to me, man. You know, probably the most talked about Knick these days in terms of his effectiveness on the court and what he can bring to the team. I thought overall he did well. I mean, he really struggled early on. If it wasn't for that third quarter, I think, you know, would have been a pretty rough night for him. I thought he got a little bit of a quick hook in the fourth.
Yeah.
But the interesting thing is I saw a lot of people complaining about that. But when Hartenstein came in, he actually played really well. I think Obi, you know, I think he is effective on our team with a certain amount of conditions in play. You know, a point guard that really pushes it, gets the team in transition, or multiple guards that can really break down the defense and get him open for wide open threes, or, you know, attacking closeouts. I was happy that we saw a little bit more of Obi putting the ball on the floor.
Yeah.
trying to create for himself tonight, because I've been very critical of his ability to do that, you know, because I just don't see it. And even when he was dribbling into the lane, I'm really not trying to con him too much, but honestly, CP looks like a 50s basketball player, like sitting on a field and dribbling the ball, and I'm just like, oh, man, this ain't it. But, you know, Obi is a productive player on our team. I think one of the guys said it in the beginning of the broadcast. He's fourth on our team in scoring.
Yeah.
And he does need more time. So, you know, I thought he was decent tonight. He was really good last night. But, you know, I thought he was okay. I thought he was solid.
Yeah, and, you know, the thing is a lot of fans were tight because, yeah, he did string together a couple good baskets in the fourth, and then Tibbs pulled him for Hartenstein. I didn't really see an issue with it because we didn't need offense at that point. I felt like, again, and Hartenstein is not Mitch, but I felt like we needed more of a presence in the paint to, one, get some more boards, try to stop some, you know, dribble penetration into the paint, maybe some points in the paint. That's why I felt like Tibbs kind of hit the panic button, took him out, went to Hartenstein, because I felt like we needed a little bit more presence in the paint, try to get a little bit more stops. Obviously, it didn't work because Boston was cooking all night. But I didn't necessarily mind him in taking him out because we really needed to get better defensively. We just didn't have it all night, man. We didn't have it all night. So, salute to everybody in the chat once again, man. Hit that thumbs up button for you boys, CP and Jeff, on the ones and twos. Knicks lose 133-118. Shout out to the Rhyme Animal, Chuck D, man. $10 super chat says, we just got to commit to who we are and forward identity. Stick to it. Evan fits last year's Knicks and another franchise. I don't know if Cam makes mistakes the next 40 games and Tatum is a star. No super yet. That Boston team was clicking tonight, man, on all cylinders, man.
Tatum's not a superstar? Oh, man, I don't know.
I think he's there, man. I think he's there. You know, we'll see. We'll see how far this team goes, man. But you couldn't have played a more perfect offense than they did tonight. And it was everybody. It was their entire supporting cast. Like I said, Grant Williams was shaking out there, 12 points. You had Hauser, 17. Malcolm Brogdon, 14. You know, their bench outplayed ours. Then you had 30 from Brown, 26 from Tatum. Marcus Smart chipped in. I mean, it was a well-balanced – I mean, even Blake Griffin was knocking a three down. So they were just unstoppable tonight, man. They were unstoppable tonight.
No Al Horford either.
Yeah, no Al Horford for him. And so Hartenstein did get to start tonight in the absence of Mitch, and Mitch is going to be evaluated in 7 to 10 days. So that's about 4 games that Mitch is going to miss. What did you think about Hartenstein tonight? He chipped in with 10 points, 14 boards. What'd you think about Hartenstein tonight?
I love the play, man. I really like this player. You know, I think I remember watching him during the Memphis game and just saying to myself, he's going to become a fan favorite. People are going to really like him because he does a little bit of everything. I don't know if I saw the floater tonight, but that dunk that he had where it was like a putback, electrified the crowd. He got really pumped up. So, you know, I like him a lot. But aside from that, I think we need to caution fans because there's been so much chat about the Knicks lately, specifically before that Philly game, before the lineup changes made, a lot of talk about Tom Thibodeau's job, you know, and we understand, like, that's going to be the case. This is New York, and it does seem like – I think I was listening to Ian Begley on the putback – that the front office expected this team to start somewhat strong, regardless of their schedule, which is interesting to me. But, you know, no Mitch for 7 to 10 days. And remember, he's going to be evaluated. So that's
right. Sprained knee for Mitch.
Exactly. And you know, this team – especially in the Leon Rose era, I think they've been conservative with bringing players back. They want to try and make sure they're okay. Look, we brought Grimes. He started yesterday, and he didn't play tonight. That could be a maintenance thing. Who knows? But I think we need to caution fans on their expectations while Mitch is out. You know, and Hartenstein fills in admirably. I believe he tries his best. His effort is there. but this team is going to struggle defensively without Mitch. And the offensive rebounds, man.
Offensive rebounds.
That's an important part of his game and our offense, honestly, because we still have not really figured out, at least in the starting lineup, how to gel cohesively to a point where we feel like, wow, this team is running fluid. You know, we're really getting open shots. Guys know where to go. We're still kind of running up on each other a little bit. And Mitch kind of cleans that up a little bit because he gets some chances. You know, if we're missing shots and our offense is not great. So I think, you know, we could be looking at, you know, some rough games, but I don't know that it's necessarily indicative of us as a team. You know, I think he's just a big part of what we do.
No question about it. Let's get to the phones. Let's hear from Michael Ellis. Michael Ellis from Tampa, man. What's going on?
Yo, yo, yo. What's good?
How you feeling, bro?
I feel fantastic. Tough loss tonight, but some pretty quick points. First of all, I love the show. You guys are doing a fantastic job.
Appreciate it.
CP, shout out to you. But really quick, it's blatantly obvious that the Knicks guards are icing Cam out of the game. Game after game, touch after touch, set after set, they refuse to kick the ball to the corner to this young man and give him a chance to shine. The team lacks secondary action. It's a lot of one-on-one tough shots. I love Brunson. I love the shots that he's getting, but they're tough. He's going to be tough on his body. He has a very long contract. It worries me, right? I think that the front office and the coach, they're pandering to Randall, and RJ a bit too much. They need to hold them accountable for their shots and their shot selection, and they need to run offense because it's just annoying at this point. It's redundant. It's rudimentary. I wish I could, you know, find – I can't even think. It's just frustrating to see that year after year, possession after possession, is just the same thing. We lack some sort of secondary action or just continuity. We're blowing teams out and we're letting them back in because everybody wants to be king of New York.
I don't know about that, man. I appreciate the call. My man sounded like he was whispering or something. You got to talk a little bit louder, but – I mean, freezing Cam out of the gate. I don't see it, man. I don't see it. I did not see him getting opportunities like this in the starting lineup. I said it's in the preseason. Not because I felt like they were going to freeze him out. You have certain guys you're going to run your offense through. The point guard, your two guys, your two top paid guys, RJ Julius. It's their team. You're going to run it through them. Those are your horses. Like I said, for me, Cam coming off the bench, it's a better opportunity for him. He can attack. He could do his thing. He could be a little bit more aggressive. They can go to him. I think it's harder for him to have that same impact with these starters. Doesn't mean it's impossible. I just think it's a little bit harder. And this is why, to me, why Tibbs, I felt like, leaned more on the Grimes because he wanted some more lower usage, high efficiency shooting. Now, Grimes has not given you that. He's not healthy right now. But this is what you're looking at because you're looking for balance in the lineup. I don't think they're freezing him out. I just don't think so. What's your takes?
Nah, I definitely don't think they're freezing him out. I did say this, though, to Michael's just point on Cam in general. With the way that Cam was playing defense, I wanted him to get more shots. I did. I felt like he should have had more touches in that game. The way he was playing, even Green said, when he went out, he said, you know, this kid is playing his heart out. This is what you love to see. And there was times during the game where I was kind of like, yo, where's Cam on offense right now? And I don't think it was because he wasn't moving or cutting, because I saw him moving. So what you're saying, CP, I mean, when RJ, Brunson, or Randall are on the court, the offense is going to run through them. Cam, even though he's getting more of an opportunity now, his role is still going to be similar to that, what it was in Atlanta, in the sense that he's a catch and shoot, attack, closeout guy until further notice. And, you know, if he gets extended minutes in a second unit, okay, now maybe he can afford to have more one-on-one opportunities where he can work off the pick and roll and try and get in the paint and get to the rim. But I'd be shocked if anyone's freezing him out. I don't think anyone on this team has that type of personality. Like,
listen,
they
were accusing Quickly of doing it. Now it's the starters doing it. It's always a conspiracy against Cam. It's everybody against Cam.
Right.
Look, he's giving you good defense. He's playing his role. Be a star in your role. Everybody's not going to be a high-usage guy in the starting lineup. That's not how offenses are balanced. I agree with you, though, Jeff. I was looking for him to get some more opportunities. But to say that they're intentionally freezing him out, that's a little bit ridiculous. I can't get on that. Were they a little bit tunnel vision when it came to him tonight? Sure, I could agree with that. But to say that they were intentionally not passing the ball after the game he had last night, there's no chance. No chance. Okay, let's get to – let me go to Joe from Ohio. Joe, what's going on?
Yo, what's poppin', CP? Can you hear me?
Joe, yeah, you got to talk a little bit louder, man. I don't know. The phone's a little bit low tonight.
Dang, my fault. Can you hear me better now?
Yeah, go ahead.
All right. Yo, first off, it's my first time calling in a minute. I want to always show love to you, Doug. If you heard that Drake album, bro, it's amazing. And I'll take time from listening to that album to call you because you got you're doing your thing, bro.
Appreciate it.
I'm gonna do my best to get right to it. Bro, like going against teams like the C's and the Cavs, it frustrates me so much, bro, because those are teams that were built the right way, right? Like you get your top dudes who you draft in the top five back-to-back in regards to Darius Garland and Isaac Cole, who's a dud, and then Mobley, right? And then after that, after you got your good foundation, then you start to bring in dudes who can take you over the top. D. Mitch, things of that nature, Jared Allen, whatever. For us, we were doomed once, and this is the previous front office, previous regime, I understand, but we were doomed once we drafted RJ, then signed Marcus Morris, Elfrid Payton, and Julius Randle, because we're trying to win right now all the time. And I feel like this front office, I don't think that they're trash, but I just disagree with their ideology of just trying to win every single thing versus actually trying to develop their players more so than just trying to win every single game. You feel me?
Yeah.
Which I feel like goes into the Julius Randle Obi thing. Obi gets 15 minutes tonight, bro. Like, Doug, like, I'll rock with you when you say Julius Randle or the Obi pick was a dud pick, because we draft a dude top 10 overall and have no idea of how to start him or even give him a playing field to be like a central piece in on the team. I feel like that goes with the ideology of trying to win every single game. And I'm not saying Julius is trash because Julius played 40 minutes. He had a good game. But when you have a situation like that where our top 10 pick is now stuck at the most getting 20 minutes a game, it just shows you a difference in ideology. You feel me? And I don't know, man. I just want to talk about that because it's been sitting on me. I've been wanting to call in for a minute. But keep doing your thing, bro. As always,
appreciate
love. One.
Appreciate it, man. That was Joe from Ohio. Rate that call in the chat, man. One being trash, five being facts. I thought outside of the Drake promotion, I didn't really get what the Drake promotion was all about. I mean, I'm not really rushing to listen to Drake's new album. No offense to Drake. You know, this ain't Drake fan TV over here. But I think everything after the Drake promotion was, I thought he was on point. Now, I don't necessarily think signing Julius and Morris was win now, so to speak, because, you know, the Marcus Morris thing, he kind of fell into their lap. That was a late acquisition. When he, you know, the whole thing with the Spurs, some foot tricks happened and they ended up getting him. And then I honestly thought with Julius, they were trying to catch lightning in a bottle. I thought they felt like they had a young player with some upside potential that they could bring in here and start to build a foundation with. It hasn't worked. Well, not necessarily that it hasn't worked, but it's kept them in the middle of the pack. You know, it's kept them in the middle of the pack. The Obi thing, they'll have to answer for it when that time comes. You know, they extended his current rookie option. We'll see what happens after that. If he sticks around for a long-term deal, he's getting 15 minutes tonight. They're barely playing them together. We can go on and on and on about that, you know, but it just is what it is, man. This team is so frustrating. His team was just so frustrated, man. I can't. It's tough. It's tough, man. What'd you think about that call, Jeff?
I think Joe, I think there's a lot of fans that feel the way Joe feels, that this team should have prioritized getting top tier blue chip talent in the draft by losing. My thing is this: when Scott Perry was here, even before Leon Rose, Scott Perry was like, we're never tanking.
Yes.
Then Rose came here and he hired a coach that would never tank if you paid him extra money on top of his current salary to tank.
Yeah.
So it's kind of like, I don't know what you want with that. I'm not, to be honest with you, I'm not the biggest proponent of tanking. And I always would just rather have a good scouting department that can find gems wherever we draft. You know, why can't we find a Nikola Jokic? Why can't we find a Giannis? Why can't, you know what I mean? And I understand your chances are better if you're in the top five, you're in the top three, I get it. But, it's just, I don't know. I don't think, I don't know. I guess the last time, and it's tough to even say this, right? If you go back to the RJ Barrett draft, we take RJ over Garland. So Darius Garland, I remember, I'm pretty sure he was injured for like half or most of the year, right?
He was.
So that's a pretty risky pick to just put all your marbles in and say, well, listen, now, whatever tape we've seen of this kid, we know he's going to be good. You know, that has happened with James Wiseman. I like James Wiseman a lot, but, he's in a great place because the spotlight is not on him and he doesn't have to save a franchise. But, it's a big gamble. So it's tough. Like you said, it's frustrating, but I've never been a huge tanking guy. I've generally been okay with the draft decisions that this regime has made. And, we just have to make it work. At the end of the day, if you bought stock in Leon Rose and William Wesley, what you bought stock in is their ability to bring a star to this team via trade or free agency. That's what we're all waiting for. So that's it. If they don't do that, they're going to get fired.
No question about it. Let's go to the Discord. Sam on the Discord. Sam, what's good?
Hello, hello, hello.
How you feeling, man?
It's disappointing loss.
Yeah.
I will say that. And Tibbs is just a very frustrating man for me. Okay. And it's the thing is the defensive scheme. I don't know how many times I have to watch his defensive scheme over and over again. Okay. He prioritizes paint field goal percentage, right?
Mm-hmm.
We have him at 54% in the paint. Okay. That's 10% under league average, props there, but they're shooting 49% from three, CP. They allowed 51 shots from three.
Yeah.
25 of them makes. You can't – your main focus can't be paint field goal percentage no more. Okay, not in this league. Not here. You have to guard that three. There's so many teams out there where you have three-point shots, and they need to go out there. And then we had missed opportunities on the offensive side. We know we could attack Hauser. RJ was the only person that I saw made a read and said, Brunson, give me a screen. Get me a switch onto Hauser. Everyone else is going against Depoy, Marcus Smart.
Yeah.
All-team defense, Jaylen Brown. What are we doing out there? It makes no sense. Tibbs needs to figure a way to make this defense better because so far all these losses have come raining down on threes. That
raining
Bucks game.
Threes,
that Bucks game, that Cavs game, that three-point shot, we are losing games because of that. Congrats, you got the lowest field goal percentage in the league, but that don't mean anything unless you can stop that three.
Yeah, I hear you, man. But how much is it is personnel too, man? I think part of playing good defense, you got to have good players. And with good defensive acumen, Julius has never been that guy. And yes, they've been able to survive with him there. They were fourth a couple of years ago. They were 11th last year. A part of that is him. You got Brunson getting – they're blowing right past him on the perimeter, bro.
I agree with you completely there. but sometimes there's these rotations that are made where it's obviously the scheme. And that's all I'm saying. Those 10 points that you could take off the board could get you in a game.
Yeah, no question about it, man. One of the best, if not the best. Where's the Celtics offense ranked this year? First?
3 points? I have no idea.
I mean, overall, yeah, definitely top five.
Oh, yeah, overall, yeah, top five, yeah.
Definitely top five. I hear you, especially schematically with this team. You know, you definitely want to see some more adjustments there. The Cleveland game, same thing. But a lot of times I'm just seeing guys just, you know, so out of sorts, man, especially Julius. Especially Julius, man. It's frustrating. No question about it, man.
And it's Sam, right? To Sam's point, one thing I'll say that I do agree with him, and I'm usually a pretty big Tibbs defender, but I think Tibbs could have tried to top lock maybe some of the shooters or throw a strategic double at Tatum down every now and then. We've seen him do it before. It's not like it's something that he never does. And I guess, you know, I would be a little interested when they were so hot from three, why they didn't try that. And he clearly, I think he ran drop coverage for pretty much the majority of tonight. So, yeah, I think Tibbs definitely could have just tried something a little bit different. He kind of just stuck with whoever was out there. I did like that he seemed to try to limit Fournier's minutes because Fournier was really rough. It's going to be tough for him to adjust to a bench role anyway, because he's a good 3-point shooter, but I think he's only good when he has volume, when he's getting
100%
threes a night. You know, now adjusting to the bench, if he's not giving you that shooting, man, he's really not giving you much at all. And honestly, not trying to open up this conversation, but if the front office isn't looking to actively trade him right now, then they better do it soon because, he really does not. When Grimes gets fully healthy and he starts doing the things that we know that he can do on a court, Evan really doesn't have a place on this team.
Nah, not at this moment. But the key question you said there with Grimes is health. So we got to see how it goes, man. Let's go to Brian from the BX. Brian, what's going on?
Yo, what's up, man? Yo, first time caller. Good. Real quick though, man. I mean, this loss right here, it's not even disappointing because the Knicks are devoid of a star. So when you run up against a team with a bunch of stars, this is what's going to happen. Unless all your other role players, like on the Knicks, which is a bunch of role players, unless they're going to play out of their minds, that's what's going to happen. So I mean, it is what it is. As far as with this whole Cam freezing out and all of that, that's crazy. Can Cam just make a layup instead of trying to make every layup look like it's out of an and-one mixtape? I mean, just play the ball up, man. What's
hey,
up
don't,
with that?
Hey, you have to offend the Cam Hive. You slow down.
It is what it is, bro. It is what it is. I mean, what is that, man? Like, come on. But I'm just saying that, you know, it was a good effort. It was a good effort, but like you said, if you don't got no stars, stars move the league. It is what it is. The Knicks are a 500 team at most. You know, what they won, 37 games last year. Maybe they'll win 40 this year. If they do that, it's a good season. It is what it is.
Okay.
All right.
Appreciate it, man. Call. Brian from BX, man. Rate that call in the chat, man. One being trash, five being facts. Cam Hodges, he's coming for you, man. You guys got to stand up. What's good?
A reasonable caller right there.
He said every layup looked like an AWOL mixtape. Oh, man, that was funny. But look, they scored 118 points tonight. I get his thing that it's a star-driven league, and when you're going up against teams like the Bucks and what Donovan Mitchell did to them in the Cavs game, sure, I can agree with that. In crunch time, they just got blown out. But in this game, this is just defense. This was all defense. They could not pray for a stop. They couldn't buy a stop. You don't need stars for that. You need, as Sam said, a scheme, proper scheme, and good effort and cohesion. You need good communication. You need effort. Run these guys off a three-point line. Like, you need adjustments from the coach. I hear that. But you don't need stars for that. They couldn't get a stop. They couldn't buy a stop tonight.
I mean, remember, you know, we always harken back for previous eras of Knicks, but I mean, the communication that we used to see from a guy like Tyson Chandler on a nightly basis, like, look how much you take it for granted. I love Mitch. You know, he's not there from a communication standpoint, but that level, you know, even Noah, but like more so when he was with the Bulls.
Yes.
Just like an excellent, excellent communicator and understanding where everyone needs to be. Like, we desperately need someone like that.
Yeah, no doubt about it, man. Salute to everybody in the chat. Once again, hit that thumbs up button for you boys. Knicks Post Game Live presented by Manscaped, CP and Jeff on the ones and twos, man. Knicks get washed tonight, 133-118. Let's hear from the squad, see what the squad got to say, man. We'll go to a couple post-game press conferences, see what these guys got to say for themselves. You guys want to hear from Julius first? All right, cool. Let's hear from Julius, see what's going on.
It's communication, and you know, it's a tough back-to-back. Also, you know, to come in and play a team like that on the second night of a back-to-back is difficult, you know, especially with how they play. So we'll learn from it, watch the tape, and go from there.
Well, the one thing, I think that was Ian Begley that was asking the question. The one thing I would say with Julius was, hey, they played last night too.
Also, I love Julius, like, echoing Tibbs. Like, have you noticed that? And
yeah.
Lately in the posting,
you gotta,
like,
look at the tape.
I just gotta watch the tape.
That's a quick one to get past the question. You just gotta look at the tape, man. I don't know. I wasn't playing. I wasn't there. I'll just look at the tape and see what's going on.
Yeah.
Next question. We just gotta look at the tape, man. I don't know. I don't even remember what the hell happened at this.
Yeah.
You know, they played last night too, Julius. You know, they looked like they didn't, the way they were clicking on all cylinders. But all right, well, as he said, I'll watch the tape and figure it out. We'll hold him to that. Okay. Here is Jalen Brunson on tonight's loss. Let's hear what Jalen Brunson has to say here.
I think for me individually, where could I have been better on defensive end? Now, could I have been better help? Could I have been, you know, locked in on my man a little more? What could I have done differently to be better? I think just going forward is just communication. Communication. We have the pieces. We have the intent. We have the guys that want to do the work. Now we just we need that last piece.
Yeah. They got to stop. And that's courtesy of SNY videos. They got to stop putting Julius's press conferences next to everybody else's, especially Brunson, because so far in the little bit of time that he's been here, he keeps it 100% real. He tells you everything that you saw out there and holds himself accountable. And this is not to jump on Julius all the time. I feel like we do that, but I'm just pointing out the obvious. What does Julius do? Oh, well, we played last night. I got to look at the tape. And what did Brunson tell you? I got to do better. My defense got to be better. Our communication on defense has to be better. Every single thing that you saw out there that you and most people at home observed, this guy's putting it out there and holding himself to a higher standard to try to be better. You got to like that, bro. You got to like that.
Love it, but I'm, you know, one of the interesting storylines I thought in my mind before this season started, because I felt like Julius, even with all the craziness that he went through last year, was still considered probably the unquestioned leader of this team. But, you know, I think that's going to change now that Jalen's here, if it already hasn't. And I honestly just wonder how he responds to that, because I do think people are going to respond to just the type of person that Jalen Brunson is, or at least the way he portrays himself to be on the court and in the press conferences and whatnot. And I don't, you know, again, if Julius has truly changed and he's like, well, listen, Jalen being the leader of this team might be what's best for the team, and I just need to be good in my role, and I need to be good at doing what coach wants me to do on the court. But, you know, who knows, when you get that big contract and you're in New York and you get all NBA and now you feel like this is my team. I just wonder if there's going to be any friction from that going forward. Who knows?
something to watch for sure, man. Hit that thumbs up button for your boys. Salute to everybody in the chat. Knicks Post Game Live presented by Manscaped. Go to manscaped.com. Enter promo code KFTV for 20% off plus free shipping. Shout out to the Rhyme Animal, Chuck D, man. $5 super chat. He says, sorry to say, Mitch Hurt Robinson seems like his full name. We cannot get an identity without him. Impossible. We bagged him for a reason to be there, in all caps. And yeah, it was, I got to agree, man. It was disappointing to see Mitch out again. Not surprising, but disappointing. I think that's my reaction. He sprained his knee yesterday in Philly. And he has admitted, you know, because he's trying to achieve longevity in this league. He's trying to work hard at that, but he's just injury prone, man. That's the downside. He's just injury prone.
It's tough. He's a fun player to root for, and you know, it seemed that getting his money over the summer actually motivated him to get to greater heights. And I thought the first couple of games that he played, he really took his game to another level, especially defensively. Like, the activity level was just crazy. His energy and just the ground he covered on the court was like really super impressive. So you just hope it's nothing serious and nothing that's going to linger over time or cause trouble in the future. But, you know, there's always something. So, you know, we just kind of have to wait and see.
B Mora on the Discord. B Mora, let's go.
Yo, CP, man, I'm tired.
How you feeling,
I'm
man?
Tired of two things. Oh. I'm tired of two things. Number one.
Yeah.
Tibbs.
Okay.
This is the modern NBA, buddy. Everyone can shoot, man. I'm sick and tired of these late rotations. Bro, every single game, we're just giving the other team a shoot around. And Julius is out here closing out like he's closing out on Westbrook every time. And then when there's a miscommunication, he just puts his hands up and then he just complains and he trots back down and holds the ball in offense or does something stupid.
Yeah.
I'm not trying to bag on you, Julius, but you know what? It is what it is. So you got to hold yourself accountable. Number two, I'm tired of these people on Twitter saying, trade RJ, RJ's trash, RJ's done for. Bro, what does Saquon say? Stay on that side. Don't come back when RJ starts doing good again.
RJ,
stay on that side.
Be more staying loyal.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Let's go.
I mean, I treat him fairly. I'll treat him fairly. But I'm just saying, stay on that side. The boy balls tonight, and that feed was awfully quiet. Awfully quiet. So good for you guys.
Yeah.
Stay on that side. I'm sick and tired of this. We have enough talent, I think, to at least compete. But it's just imagine, man, if we just talk better on defense, this game could have been way closer at the end, and we definitely had a shot to win. Shout out to Cam.
Yeah.
I'm not a part of the Cam hive necessarily, but shout out to Cam, man. He's working his butt off out there, man. That guy is he's earning his minutes, and in my opinion, he should be starting. As far as the French man, I mean, bon voyage, Evan. I'm sorry, but you out of here, bro. Eat your baguette and have some fun in France or something, but you're done. I'm sorry. All right. Appreciate it.
Might have been the last, man. Yo, aren't you out in Hawaii, bro?
Yeah,
okay.
I'm in Hawaii.
Yeah, yeah, I remember that, man. Been a while, man. Thanks for the call, man.
Appreciate it.
B Mora, emptying the clip. Yeah, it's smoke for everybody, man.
Yeah,
he's
not
tight.
Buying a jersey anytime soon.
No Fournier jersey.
I'm saying you how I see it, man.
Of course, man. No 48 jerseys for B Mora, that's for sure. Shout out to B Mora, everybody out in Hawaii. B Mora checking in from Hawaii, man. Throw your cities, everybody in the chat. Throw your countries in the chat. Let us know where you guys are checking in from, man. We got people checking in from all over the place, so always good to hear. So we're gonna go from Hawaii and we're gonna go to Puerto Rico. Jose, who drew a lot of criticism last night. There were a lot of people coming for Jose last night. He's back on the line. Jose from Puerto Rico, let's go.
I got to know where is Jose from. I have family there.
Jose, where in Puerto Rico are you,
man? I'm from San Juan. Puerto Rico, like right now, or right about that neighborhood. I'm not here to say that I told you so because I am a Knicks fan, but there was no defense. We turned the ball over. No fundamentals. We used to be, I think, third or two against the three ball, and they shot three balls galore. You know, RJ played every. You know, he shot the ball well, but he turned the ball over. You know, it's the same thing. I don't want to rant like I did last night about their garbage, but you don't want their garbage. And That's it, you know. There's no superstars. Leon Rose got to call Booker and all those guys he used to represent and say, remember all that money I made you? Well, now you got to look out for me and come to the Knicks. And I'm telling you, it's you know, your callers are, I don't want to sound mean, but they don't see the same game I watch. I just don't get it. You know, I'd rather have R.J. Barrett shoot 15 and take care of the ball. When you do turnovers, lose games. And it looks like it was D'Antonio coaching tonight's game, and was it Tibbs? There was no defense, nothing.
Gave up 30 points. 14 turnovers, gave up 30 points, man.
You guys are so optimistic. Wow, RJ shot 20. I'd rather have him shoot 10 than not lose the ball. And I think that Arnestein, I think he's better than Mitch, believe it or not. He shoots the three. He's in there. He's a dude, you know, I believe it or not, I think Hartenstein is a better player. He doesn't crack. He's not Mr. Glass, you know. I don't know, man. It's you know, I'm gonna stop watching Knick games for a little while, man, because I'm losing my freaking sanity, man. And then I hear these callers, oh, developing. How long does it take to develop a player? Oh, about the draft. The draft is the most luckiest thing you could ever think of. It's you know, you can't predict what you could, you know, that your draft's gonna be a superstar. We need a GM, like the GM from the Raptors. I don't want to kill his name because I don't know how to pronounce. Yeah. That's the guy we need to go after, you know, because Leon Rose, with his CAA ties, hasn't brought nothing to the game. No superstar. No, you know, all these connections they said he had. Come on, man. Give me a break. This is all front office. And Stop blaming Tibbs, because for me Tibbs is top five head coach in the league right now. Who are we gonna get? And people say, oh, he's not the modern NBA. The guy eats, breathes, drinks, doesn't even have a wife, a girlfriend, because all he does is think about basketball. and everybody here crucifies him. It's not him. He doesn't have a roster. Why? Because his roster is garbage. And whose fault is that? Leon Rose, bottom line. And for my buddy last night that doesn't know the difference between rapid fire and a regular thing, I told you so. I told you so, and I told you so. And get ready. Anthony Edwards coming up.
I hope you're right, man. Damn, Jose came back tonight with the flamethrower. I had to get him up out of here before he chased all my customers away, man. We thrive on optimism here at Knicks Fan TV, Jose, man. You're scaring the people away, man. Oof, I think he was about to change some hearts out there. We can't have that, Jose. We still got to keep it a little bit optimistic over here.
Jose said, I don't care about your tampering charges. Leon Rose, get everybody that you've ever worked with and come to the Knicks.
Jose wants to smoke. I don't have much time right now. When next show we start, maybe tomorrow on weekly, Jose's got to call back. I know there's somebody out there that wants to battle this guy, man. Rate that call in the chat. One being trash, five being facts. I know there's some Jose fans out there that don't want to show themselves in the chat. But somebody out there is pissed right now that wants to battle this guy. Stack Wiles in the chat. How much time are you giving this guy? No, man. He was kind of speaking my language in certain respects. I don't know. I just gave him a little bit of time to go, man. I just gave him a little bit of time. He's a frustrated fan, man. He's a frustrated fan. Jose came out with the flamethrower, man. I gotta switch the vibe up, man. Whoa. Papa West. Papa West, what's good?
Yo. Yo, what's going on?
Hey, you guys might need Jose on Toxic Boys, man. Yeah, you might need to recruit him.
What's going on? The calls again, Toxic?
Oh, man. You didn't hear Jose? You missed Jose?
No, I'm watching Sisters with the fiance right now. But
you're watching 98 Fiance right now.
I'm on a stipulation, but Yeah. But you know, yeah. I could definitely. I'll say this, man. It's not a night to be toxic. If Toxic Boys gets a bad label because people think it's just the Knicks lose and we give yell and get upset. Like this is. I said on Twitter, like, this is a game where if you look at last night's game and you look at tonight's game, you look at the season in a whole. Like, the season is about getting better as an organization value-wise. Like, I'm not Cam Hive. I'm not RJ Hive. I'm not Obi Hive. I'm not Mitch Hive. I'm not Deuce Hive. I'm value Hive. Like, I want the value of this team to increase over an 82-game season. I want the rest of the NBA, when they look at us, to be interested in us, not to totally disrespect us and not engage with us on phone calls to get better talent in here. And there is some talent in here, and they played better tonight. They showed better talent across four quarters than they did last night. I like when RJ's intimidated and trying to make by the talent or inspired by the talent, whatever it is, more inspired than intimidated by his competition, and he wants to prove a point. I think Jaylen Brown carried him with him. I think the stats of those guys, like CP, bro, Boston – remember the play with Marcus Smart and the buzzer beater with that extra pass to Jason Tatum? Like,
yes.
That's the mentality of that team. Like, Jason Tatum tonight, the Knicks are down 12 with 30 seconds left, right? There's a steal, and Cam's ahead in the front court for a dunk. And Jason Tatum's out there saving a basketball with 30 seconds left in a meaningless possession. Like, they take these possessions seriously. And from a basketball – Yeah, from a basketball standpoint, like, the major thing with me, the defense is whatever. Like, I'm not going to sit here and do that. But the offense for me is like, yo, like, we don't have guys on this team that should be licking their lips because they got the ball at 14 seconds left on the clock. Like, keep moving the ball. Like, everybody, keep moving the ball. Like, we should play into that strength of our depth. But as far as, like, you know, last night, you know, we played, like, you know what, and against Philly. And then tonight we played, you know, we showed, you know, some talent on the floor. And, you know, the loss is the loss, but the value of this team has to get better as we go along. But more than anything, man, positivity, man, I just want to shout out everybody who's Knicks P. Great show once again. And this community keeps growing, and it creates more and more stories. I did hear the Hawaii to Puerto Rico switch, and that was just geographically, that was amazing, man. And, man, that's so much support for this channel. It's the best in the business. It is the business. And, you know, let's go Knicks. 4-5. We're 4-0 against teams with no stars. We're 0-5 against teams with a star. And that's just where we are as a franchise. It's okay. Like, but how do we get past that is by building the value on this team, not getting the 42nd or the 39th win. As long as the value gets better and the right players are in the game, we should be in a good position to improve. Peace.
Peace, man. Appreciate the call. And yeah, he's right. You know, like I said, we said a couple of games ago that, yeah, as on a game by game basis, we do get caught up in the micro of it, right? Like a Jose, you know, comes in and uses this game as a barometer for what this team is. But I also like Papa Left's thoughts in that you gotta take it in its totality. And once the season is over, season's still early, first and foremost. But once it is over, you know, what did we learn? Who got better? Did anyone get better? Does anyone have a chance to emerge or develop into something that we can really build and move forward with? Did anybody, improve to the point where, you know, maybe they're being looked at that can help us upgrade and build and bring in more assets? You know, that's what he means by value. I definitely agree with that. So, yeah, frustrating loss. But look, man, Boston played a perfect game. I'm not mad at this one. Last night, I would have been pissed. This one, I'm not mad at this one. What's your take on his call, Jeff?
Oh, Papa Left? Yeah, man, I'm with, honestly, everything he said. I also agree that I do feel like we played a better game than we did last night. We went against a team that didn't have their two best players in James Harden and Joel Embiid. So that comeback was made a little bit more manageable and attainable, I think. But yeah, man, you know what's funny? You know, I was thinking about the Grimes move, right?
Mm-hmm.
And in my head, I was thinking, I think it was the right move, potentially wrong time to make it. And CP, I'd love to know, you mean
starting him yesterday?
Yeah, yeah. And the only reason I'm saying that is because, like, he had only played, I don't know how many minutes in the previous game, but he hadn't played for the whole season. So, you know, we're thinking that injury, they're taking their time with it. He has no game conditioning. But now he's going to start in this game. And at the end of the day, they know, right? Like, they see him in practice, and I'm sure Quentin wanted to get in there. But I thought that could have potentially, you know, turned out really badly. If he's, you know, trying to just get in there and maybe this injury is a little more serious. And I don't know what this holding him out tonight is. Again, it could be just a management thing. It's like, guys, or we're going to just be smart. But I thought it was, I don't want to say a panic move, but it was almost indicative of the pressure that's on Tibbs and his seat getting hotter. But that worries me, though, because I do think some of these moves that have been made in the past two games are good, and I want to see Tibbs mixing and matching with his lineups more. And ultimately, I want Grimes starting. I agree. It's just I just wonder how much of that pressure is going to affect the decision-making process that may not end up good, or it may just kind of be pushing things a little bit too quickly before they're supposed to happen. And I always thought that decisions would be made after certain intervals, 10 games, 15, 20 games. Last year, we saw Kemba bench after 20 games. So I thought this year it might be something similar. So I just kind of want to see that, how that pressure affects Tibbs and ultimately what it does for our team.
Yeah, you know what? I think it's a great point. And you know, after last night's game, a lot of people were replying to my thoughts when I said, you know, I thought Tibbs was either going to be walking the plank had they lost that game or lost his job flat out after another embarrassing loss. And I pointed to the Grimes start as an indicator of the pressure that he's under, because just Wednesday night after the Hawks game, me and JD on the post game, and we're saying that it's logical that Grimes is going to get that spot, but is it going to be Friday's game? We were both like, no, that's way too early. He just came back. You know, that's way too early. And then they put him into the starting lineup. It was very questionable because I'm like, how you just go from 0 to 100 with the kid and not, you know, build him up and get him ready. And so I just felt like it was a panic move. It just seemed that all off season going into the season, they had him in that as a placeholder in there with Fournier kind of keeping that seat warm. And then here it is today. He's out with the foot soreness. I don't know if it's precautionary or not. I'm concerned. I don't know if he's going to be at full strength. I'm not sure. It's early, but I just don't get a good feeling about his injury right now and how he can perform this year. I don't have a good feeling about it.
Actually, if he got hurt during the Philly game, I mean, it would have – I don't know, man. It would have been crazy. There would have been so many questions, so many things that I think, you know, you really could have opened Pandora's box in terms of now – you know, what you're questioning about this coaching staff and the front office and their decision-making process.
Yeah, because to me, Cam is warm. He's been playing. He's been getting consistent minutes. He's averaging about 15. Why not just put Cam? The idea is to move Fournier out and get better, at least defensively.
Right.
Start off there and work Grimes into it. I don't know. It seemed like a rush decision. Hopefully he plays on – if he doesn't play Monday – then I'm concerned, but hopefully he plays Monday and we'll see how it goes. But I think the Fournier starting situation is done. We'll see how he adjusts to getting 10 minutes or less, and can they move him at the deadline? I think that's what you're looking for, but you're hoping that Grimes can stay healthy enough where they can afford to move Fournier at the deadline, because they still lack in shooting. Even though he hasn't been shooting the ball well, they still lack in shooting. So gonna be interesting, man. That definitely gonna be interesting. Astros win the World Series.
Now, wow, it's already over?
Yeah, Astros won, man. Happy for Dusty Baker, but not really anybody else. Yeah, congrats to them. And that's that. King D's on the Discord. Let's close out, King D's.
Yo, happy Saturday, CP.
Campbell, yep. Great job filling in, man. Peace and love to the room, to the chat. Chatting with Sam. Sam is my man on the Discord. Shout out to Papa that Left. Shout out to all the OGs that check in and show love, because this is where we started and this is where it's at. CP gave us all our names and our rightful duties, so I'm just paying homage to
appreciate
that.
Appreciate it, man.
With that being said, a lot of these new heads, man. Jose, what you talking about, man? Top five coach? I can name five coaches right now. Taylor Jenkins, Nick Nurse. You got Ty Lue. You got J.B. Bickerstaff. Mike Budd, what are we talking about? It's okay to criticize the game, but don't be saying outlandish things here on Knicks Fans TV. It's very well documented. That was outlandish. Put the Jose Cuervo down. With that being said, listen, the Knicks lost to the Eastern Conference champions, all right? It's not a big deal. You have to take good things with bad. It's early in the season. But guess what? What's the number one thing that we all basically all said all from the beginning of the season? Evan Fournier can't start. The defense is lacking, and his shooting isn't supporting it. So if I lose to the Celtics because they're shooting from planet heaven, but we have Cam Reddish as a certified starter, then guess what, ladies and gentlemen? That's a win. It's okay. It's a win early in November, and we move forward. That's what I'm taking from this season. Like Papa Les said, it's the little things. It's the value of how to get this team from what they are right now, playing bound, play off like eight to nine to 10 seed to real legitimate threats. Mm-hmm. And it's okay. I don't understand why people are jumping out the window getting mad at this game. I'm not mad at this game.
Yeah,
because
I'm not mad at
that
this.
That team went to the finals and that team got better. They're still missing Big Rob. They didn't have Al Horford. Gallinari's out for the year. Malcolm Brogdon is one of the sneakiest pickups in this league right now.
Great pickup for them. So I
just need everybody to just temper their expectations, okay? And come back down to the real world, okay? It's all right. We got Brunson. Now we got Cam. We're solving things piece by piece. And now we have to figure out where this could take us. Other than that, I feel like everything everybody else said is A1 and valid, man. I question a lot of you new callers, man. Y'all got to come up with stats. Like Cam Reddish is out here leading in plus minus, first Nick in the starting lineup after not getting started at all is Iman Shumpert. So defensively, the boy is good. He's covering people that don't need to be covered, and he's covering the helper. So I think the big lefty three played well. Obviously, get better, Mitch. But it is what it is, man. You're injury prone, and I just can't. I'm not gonna talk bad on you. You just get well, because we need you to stay healthy, or it doesn't look like that was a guaranteed hit for your contract.
Yep.
With that being said, man, we move forward. We got Minnesota. Everybody's talking about Minnesota and Anthony Edwards. Y'all not paying attention to what's going on with Rudy Gobert? Rudy Gobert is awful.
Well, we knew that was going to be a disaster. That was a desperate trade by them, and it made no sense, in my opinion.
Of course. So, CP, you know the deal, man. We move on. Next game up. Peace and love, y'all. Enjoy y'all Saturday, man.
Appreciate it. The Minnesota trade was ridiculous. They weren't even near a one Rudy Gobert move away from being a true contender. They needed all those draft picks that they gave away to keep building that team, in my opinion. But we'll see. Maybe things change for them. I just didn't like how it just felt like a panic move. You know, a lot of people are giving that new GM over there, president of basketball operations, a lot of love, a lot of respect. I forget his name, but to me, that move didn't make any sense, man.
Edwards kind of had a sneak this the other day too. They asked him about why he's dunking, and he's like, "There's like five people in the lane,
right.
Can't do it. Like, it's just not gonna happen."
What do you say? Like, I play better with space.
Yeah. So.
Yeah.
Pretty clear.
Yeah, straight up, man, straight up. But listen, man, we gotta clip the show early, man. I got to get up out of here and head to city. Jeff, great job tonight.
Thank you.
Tough loss, but great job all the while, man. 133 to 118, Knicks lose to the Boston Celtics, man. Perfect game by the Celtics. It is what it is. Knicks will be back on Monday against the Timberwolves. So let's see how they fare. Watch Rudy Gobert drop like 40 and 20 on us. Well, let's see how they fare. And we'll have Knicks Weekly tomorrow. with JD and Alex as well, man. So definitely great show, everybody. Let me read some of the super chats that came in. Shout out to Rhyme Animal Chuck D once again. $10 super chat says Tatum, Brown, and Smart been together since Noah's Ark. The communication is telepathic. Beyond coaching, you cannot separate the individuals from that trio of stars. They are stars in what they do, stars in their role. Damian the Good says mid the Knicks are. Okay. Damian the God. Okay. Who else we got? Lowe from the Bronx. Even if you leave them wide open, a team hitting 27 threes, you tip your cap and move on. Bench and no show except for Rose. We didn't go Obi and Julius Randle long enough. Respect Shaq says my guy Frankenstein played his heart out. Jetnikov Co says I can't always watch full games, but I never miss Knicks Fan TV. CP and crew always bring the effort. Appreciate that. And I appreciate everybody for tuning in, man. Once again, tough loss. It is what it is. We'll see if we bounce back on Monday. Remember that this show is available in audio podcast format, man, all the major podcast formats. So if you don't catch it on video, you could always catch it on audio. Snapbacks are in, man. Navy blue, royal blue, and black. Go to KnicksFanTV.com and get your snapbacks today. And we'll get those out to you. And remember that the show is presented by Manscaped. Go to Manscaped.com, promo code KFTV for 20% off plus free shipping. So once again, Jeff, great show. TM, all the mods in the chat, man. Great show, Lash, great show. And we'll see you guys tomorrow night, man. Knicks Weekly, be back at it. Peace. All right. Hang on one second.